Well, as I said during the announcements, next week we begin again in our narrative lectionary, which will take us from Genesis through the Old Testament up until about Christmas time, where we'll jump into the Gospel of Luke for the remaining time of our narrative lectionary for this coming year. So right now, though, we are in the third and last of a three-part series on different topics that have and doctrines that came out of the Reformation. A couple weeks ago, we looked at the doctrine of justification, where you are saved by grace through faith. Last week, we looked at good works and how we are called to do good works. This week, we look at something called the priesthood of all believers. And this came out of the Reformation because of, maybe abuses of the Catholic Church of Luther's day. And I want to be clear that it's of Luther's day, because the Catholic Church today is different than the Catholic Church back then, 500 and some years ago. The Catholic Church of that day taught that there was a real strong division between what they called the spiritual estate and the temporal estate. Now, those who belonged to the spiritual estate were your priests, your bishops, your cardinals, the pope, monks. They were the spiritual estate. Everybody else was part of the temporal or the physical estate. The spiritual estate kind of ruled, and they weren't held accountable to the temporal estate. If somebody in the spiritual estate did something wrong, a priest did something wrong, nobody in the temporal estate could really do anything about it. There were also some things that were held special to the spiritual estate. The ability to interpret Scripture, to ordain and call others to ministry. It comes down to this fact that there was a division between those who were priests and those who were not. That's what it comes down to. There's more to that in that history. You're welcome to research it if you'd like. But Luther, in writing what was kind of a paper or a small book, started going against this. And he did that by looking at this passage that we have this morning from 1 Peter chapter 2. In this passage, Peter is talking to all Christians. And he tells all of them, listen, you all are like stones that God has brought together to build a spiritual house. And out of this spiritual house, you're not only stones, but you're like priests that work in this house, and you are called to do a ministry, to pray, to give praise, to give thanksgiving, to offer spiritual sacrifices, is how Peter says this. And then he goes on, and at the end of this passage, verses 9 and 10, Peter says this, you, and he's talking about you all. It's a plural you. It's the southern y'all. You all are a chosen race. You all are a royal priesthood. You all belong to a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now Luther grabs onto this, and he writes some pretty powerful things at the time. Luther says, therefore all Christian men are priests. All women are priestesses, be they young or old, master or servant, mistress or maid, learned or unlearned. And he goes on to say, all Christians are truly part of the spiritual estate. Boil it down, and what you have is this. God has called all of us to ministry. Every single one of us is called to ministry, one for another. Now, this doesn't mean that all of us are called to be pastors. A pastor is a specific call. It doesn't mean that all people are called to be youth directors or whatever official ministry position might exist out there. Those calls are a little bit unique. Just to give an example of this, Luther talked about the pastor, and he wanted to level the playing field. So what he said is basically, think of a kingdom that has 10 brothers in it, and all the brothers are princes. They're royal. For the sake of good order, those princes come together and they elect one of them to be king over all. That's how he kind of talks about a pastor. A pastor is nobody special. I'm not special, I'll tell you that. You know I'm not special. I'm certainly not more holy than you, but you have called me to do a ministry for you. That ministry is word and sacrament, so that the word would be rightly preached, the sacrament of communion, of baptism, would be rightly administered. Think of me as a priest for priests. Does that make sense? The bottom line, though, is that we are all called to ministry. Last week, as we talked about how God doesn't need our good works, but he calls us to do good works, and he calls us to do those good works because our neighbors need them, you are called to ministry because your neighbor needs it. Your neighbor needs somebody to pray for them. You don't have to pick up the phone and say, "Pastor, can you go visit this person? They need somebody to pray for them." Guess what? You can go do that. You are just as capable at praying for somebody as I am. Can I share a little pet peeve with you for a second here? Mom, I hope you're listening, because this is for you. Pastors aren't the only people who can pray for a meal. I know that blows our minds, but it's absolutely true. Anybody can say a blessing over the meal. Just because there's a pastor in the room doesn't mean they have to be that person. You all are capable of doing it. I just make up the prayer on the spot. You can do that too. It could just be saying, "Thank you, God, for this meal. Let's eat." You know, just so you know, just get that out there. We're all called to ministry. Your neighbor needs you to pray for them. Your neighbor might need you to help walk them through what it means to thank God for something, to praise God for something, to join them in thanking and praising God together, to go with them and petition God on their behalf for something they need or are going through. That's what a priest is. A person that stands on behalf of another before God. You are called to do that for other people. You are also called, as Peter says here, to go as ministers and to proclaim the excellencies of God who has saved you, of God who has called each and every one of you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You have been called to do that. Now, I know that many of us might feel weak or incapable or poorly suited or just not good enough to do these kind of things. Not good enough to do a simple thing like praying for another person. Tell you what, very few people, if you say, "Can I pray for you?" will say, "No, don't do that." Very few people will do that. But I know that we feel weak, we feel foolish, maybe we feel incapable, like we're crossing some boundary to do even simple ministry for another person. But you know what? You're not alone in that. In fact, some of the heroes of Scripture felt the exact same way. When God called Moses to go and bring the people out of Egypt, Moses fought with God. He didn't want to do it. He kept telling God, I can't speak. I can't do it. I'm not good at this. Call somebody else. Jeremiah, the prophet, felt the same way. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. And when he did go, he went angry and he said just a few words, but the Spirit worked through it. Joshua, Gideon, all sorts of people in Scripture have had to be reassured that God is there with them, working through them. The Lord loves to work through the weaknesses of those he has called. He loves to empower those who depend on him. He will work through you. You are a chosen race. God chose you. You didn't choose him. You are a royal priesthood. All of you, learned, unlearned, man, woman. You are a holy nation, separated from the rest of the world, called to do this. You are a people of God's own possession. He has claimed you. He owns you. He bought you by his blood. You are all these things purely because of God's grace. Peter will quote Hosea, and he says, Once you didn't belong to God, once you weren't his, but now you are. God calls you to be priests in his service, ministering to each other, ministering to this world. But thanks be to God that your prayers, your thanksgivings, your praises are accepted by God not because of your holiness, not because of your righteousness, but because of Christ's holiness and his righteousness and his Spirit working through you. Amen.